Well, I rarely mention politics or political figures in a message because we are a big tent church that has people who are on both sides of almost every political issue you can think of. And I actually think it's good that we have our doors wide open to people who think differently and practice their politics differently. But today I want to mention something that George Herbert Walker Bush said in an interview for Time magazine way back in 1987 when he was then Vice President to Ronald Reagan. And it was before his run for the president the first time. And while I deeply admire Bush, who was a World War II hero, diplomat, head of the CIA, Vice President to Reagan, I can remember, along with many in his own party, that were shocked by Bush's response to a question about where he wanted to lead the country. He was asked that question, and he said, "Oh, the vision thing," like it was no big deal. And his political advisors were shocked, and they suggested that Bush take a time out and go alone to Camp David for a few days and figure out where it was he wanted to lead the country. It didn't go over real well with Bush because it wasn't the way he thought. Now, I have to admit, I had a hard time then, I have a hard time now, understanding how anyone could lead anything, anywhere, without some idea, without some dream, without some vision of where it is they wanted to go. Martin Luther King's best known speech is what? I have a dream speech. He delivered it on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That was the outcome of a dream that empowered King to pursue relentlessly, even when he was beaten and spat on and thrown in jail. It was a dream that King claimed as a God-given dream. And it inspired him and it energized him to keep going no matter what obstacles he faced. That dream was the juice. It was the current. It was the burning passion that fired him to lead a dramatic change in our culture, in our nation. King was a dreamer with a God-inspired dream, I believe, who backed up his dream with concrete actions that eventually took his own life. Today, one of the things that I hope you will see is that God has been, is, and will be in the business of giving people dreams and visions, pictures of a preferred future that God continues to pour out, dreams and visions to men and to women, and has done so since creation of humankind. And in Acts it says it's a sign of the last days which we're in, that God will pour out his vision. Well, our scripture reading today is about a vision that God gave to a man by the name of Abram. We don't know how God spoke to Abram. It could have been an audible voice or a still small voice that he heard in his heart and his mind, maybe. But somehow, Abram knew that God was telling him to do something, that God was telling him to leave his homeland and to move to a land which God would show him. Didn't say, he didn't reveal where and how, he didn't give him a triptych, like remember the AAA used to do, oh, we're going to do here, we're going to do here, we're going to do here. He said, just go. And he said that he would be founding a new nation, a great nation, as we know, Israel. That would be a blessing to the world. Now I want you to remember this. Abram was 75 years old when God gave him this vision. Now remember that he and his wife Sarah had not been able to have children, and that was big, especially back then, because that's how you measured influence. And remember, Abram, he had it made. He did. He was comfortable, to say the least. I mean, he had this huge retirement nest egg, and things were really good. But sometimes God-honoring dreams have a way of rocking us and taking us outside of our comfort zone and causing us to move from certainty and comfort to risk and taking huge leaps of faith. I remember the speech, I was actually really little when John F. Kennedy said this, but some of you probably remember it, when he launched the space program, speech he gave at Rice University. He said, "We do these things not because they're easy, we do them because they're hard." God honoring dreams go beyond our ability and place trust in the giver of the dream. God gives us dreams, and rarely, if ever, are there a lot of instructions attached. Just go, do, figure it out along the way, a step at a time, and trust that God will be there to give guidance. And you know what? It's usually messy. It's usually messy. And we make mistakes along the way. But hopefully we learn things. And we get stretched. And we get challenged. And eventually, step by faith, we make progress and we begin to see those dreams come into reality. I believe God has created all of us to be dreamers. And God's way of moving us from here to there is a dream. It's a preferred picture of what could be if we commit ourselves to action. But it's not just enough, however, to simply have a dream. We must step out on faith with God's help in order to make that dream a reality. Someone once said this, I love it. "Don't wait for your ship to come in. Go and swim out to it." Love that. You see, God plants a seed, I believe, a dream, in every human heart. And he waits to see what we're going to do with that dream. Most of us, I would assume, have dreams for the future. Most, if not all of us, have dreams about our careers and our families. And we may, many of us, have seen a number of our personal dreams come to pass. But with this being Homecoming Sunday, and as we kick off a new program year, I'm going to take a few minutes to talk to you about the dream of this congregation, our vision, and where we hope to go. Some of you may come here just a few times a year, and you may not really even think about a church's vision or dreams. You may just come every now and then, and you don't have any skin in the game, and that's okay. But for those of us who understand that part of our personal mission is wrapped up in the collective mission of our body, of our church, of our faith together, this is really important stuff. It's a dream of what God calls us to do and be together. So for the next few minutes, I just want to share with you some of the dreams that I've had and our leadership has had for this church. I came in the fall of 2008. And when I did, I was compelled by both an appreciation for the ministry of the past and of the present. It was clear to see that Alex, or St. Alex, who I like to call him, the pastor who'd served here for 45 years, was an incredibly visionary pastor, way ahead of his time. And that Ted was an outstanding pastor who worked tirelessly to care and build on that ministry. And who wouldn't want to follow that? But at the same time, it was obvious that this congregation was aging and going through a rough transition. There would need to be changes in order to reach and connect with new generations. And while we enjoy the song about old-time religion and we appreciate the message that our faith doesn't change, our methodology has to change. And I had this dream of how we could take that great foundation of the past and build on it in order to reach future generations. And I'm well aware, I mean, I study this stuff a lot. I'm well aware that around the country, and especially in the Northeast, mainline congregations especially, are struggling to survive, and many are closing their doors, but yet there are many examples of churches that are thriving in the midst of this cultural change. And I believed that DeWitt could be one of those, and that we could not only survive, but that we could thrive in this culture if we united around a clear vision. So let me give you a few bullet points and try to paint a picture, at least in my mind, what this dream looks like and where we're at in that journey. I dreamed that we would be able to offer multiple forms of worship, using a wide variety of gifts and talents involving things like drama and video, a variety of instruments and musical genres, that our worship would be creative and reach different generations, that we could truly reflect the motto, a Christian church for all people, not just people who look like us and think like us and act like us, but a reflection of the community that we live in. I dreamed that we could be a greenhouse for the arts and developing artists who would use their gifts to enhance our worship. And yes, that does include traditional worship with robed choirs and organ music and hymns, along with services that our children and our youth are actively involved in and participating in. And we're making some progress there. A friend of mine is, I do have a friend, he's a pastor, one of my friends, pastor in Wyoming. He lives in an area where country western music's really big. And he got thinking about it, his team got thinking about that. If we really want to connect with the people in our area, maybe we should do a country and western service. And I got thinking about that. And I thought, this thought appeared to me, that if we decide to do a country and western service, Alan's preaching at that one. My father-in-law loves country western music. Me, not so much. But, you know, no, if it touches the lives of people in our community, let's do it. Let's put on the cowboy boots, all right? Yeah, he's not, you know. I don't think Alan's either convinced on that one either. A few years ago, we opened Miller Commons, give us a space where we could experiment, do different kinds of worship, and we've kind of moved towards that, a baby step at a time. It's been slow, but I see and I love how it's evolving. I'm excited about what we're doing. Second is, I dreamed we'd have many people involved in hands-on ministry, using their gifts to be the body, that the church would not be built around its pastor or pastors, but around the biblical idea of all of us using our God-given gifts together, create the body that does all this ministry. And from Stephen ministry, the multiple leaders teaching and serving, from ideas and ministries that have just seemed to bubble up from the dreams that God has given to us and to a number of people in our congregation, we're living that. I dreamed of groups of people who would be involved in hands-on mission work in our community and around the world, and we're doing that at the Samaritan Center, serving meals to the hungry, and our youth are doing it in Summer Servants. And I just learned this week that Warren Machel is going to be going with a group called Operation Northern Comfort. They used to be Southern Comfort, but they got in trouble with that, right? Yeah, there was a certain distillery that didn't like that. So they're now Northern Comfort, and they're going to go down October 21st through 29th and build walls and paint homes and re-insulate homes that were hit by the hurricane in Houston. And if you're interested, let Warren know, or you can contact Alan and I, and we'll get you connected. But this is what it looks like. Former members of our congregation, Gabriel and Liz Ding, are doing incredibly important mission work in the Sudan. And as a congregation that has a lot of doctors and dentists and nurses and medical personnel, I dream of us having hands-on physical involvement in the Sudan. Maybe helping build an addition to their school or wells, and maybe we could open a week-long medical clinic down there. We can do this. And so I was talking about this last night at the 5:30 service, and I had someone who's a really good leader come up to me and said, I'm in, I'll help lead it, and we want to do it in 2020. We want to do this, and we can do this. We're going to do it. Now, we as a congregation give 5% of our budget to ministries outside our walls. My dream is 20. Let's bump that up. Let's at least get to 10. I dreamed of a dynamic ministry for children and youth and families that's alive and vital and makes a huge difference in the lives of our kids and of their families and the community around us. I dreamed of things like the marriage course that helps strengthen marriage and our youth being hands-on involved in missions, both locally and internationally. Much of that dream is happening or happened, but we need to find a way to make it happen more consistently. I dreamed of this midweek dinner, where during the school year we'd have a dinner, probably Wednesday night, and we could gather for dinner around each other, around tables, enjoy each other's community, get to know each other, and then have programs for children and youth and a teaching service for adults. I'd love to see a time where we as a community focus on growing in our knowledge and understanding of Scripture through a service devoted to teaching. I dreamed of a multitude of small groups where people build community, encourage one another as they study and as they grow, as they hang out. And at the 10 now, Alan talked about a little in the announcements. We're doing a number of study groups this fall, and Alan's going to be doing an intensive study called Disciple. This is a huge step forward. And then there's groups, the IF group for women and the Monday night Bible study for women. And there's some incredible things going on that have bubbled up. We didn't make this happen. It happened from within the body. Now, let me say something to the men here. We need to dial it up. We need to dial it up because the women, they're doing it. We need to do it. Seventh, I dreamed of this idea of core curriculum, where every year, for new people coming in and people kind of revolve through this kind of a 101 basis where we would teach things like the basics of Christianity and the basics of Scripture so you can understand this stuff on a 101 level, because a lot of people out there couldn't even find the book of Genesis if you gave them a Bible. That's our challenge. We wanted to see gifts where our groups where you could discover your spiritual gifts, helping you understand how God wired you and how you can serve and becoming good managers of our resources that God has given to us. So I'm so thankful for Greg and Ann who had this vision. We can do this. And they said, we're in and we'll run it. And so many people are loaded down with debt and having a really hard time managing their money. And this is good stuff. Few had any idea that there are biblical principles that help us and that can make a huge difference in our own lives when we put it into practice. This is a good thing. And if you haven't, you need to sign up. Eighth, I dreamed that we would become more of a community church for the community. That's been the DNA from day one around here, being a community church for the community. And we're seeing it happen more fully. I'm so excited about opening our doors to the Y and partnering together to do childcare. It's very much needed in our community. I mean, we've been talking about this for 7 years, but all of a sudden, the stars align, and now it's happened. Not just dreaming, but working step by step to make the dream happen. Ninth, I dreamed of a roof that didn't leak. There were a lot of leaks in this building when I walked in the door. I dreamed of a boiler that was more than 40% efficient, of a commons area where people could hang out in a parking lot that didn't swallow cars whole. We're living the dream, baby. I also have a dream of an organ that's not held together by duct tape and rubber bands and chewing gum, and this one is, and we expect almost any day now to see this giant puff of smoke, and it's gone. And you know what? We certainly have someone who knows how to play that thing, and it's amazing what he can do with what he's been given. Yes. So we need to dial that up. And very close tied to that is we got some debt that it's taken to get all this stuff done, And we need to take the next step to pay that off so we can do things like the organ and the sound system. I have to tell you, I think Alexander Graham Bell designed this thing. And our goal is to move into 20th century technology. And I said that last night, and somebody said, aren't we in the 21st century? And I said, well, we're taking one century at a time. But we need to do this. So I had this whole list of dreams, a lot more that I could share with you, but we're kind of out of time, and I realized that if I kept going that all of you would go out and eat the barbecue and there'd be none left for me. So we're going to close this down. But one of the guys that taught in my doctoral program, a guy by the name of John Maxwell, he's pretty well known now in the area of leadership, I remember him saying this to one of my classes. He said, a leader who has no one following him is just going for a walk. So if other people don't catch the vision, you're SOL, so out of luck. Another thing that Maxwell said in our class is don't get so far out in front of the troops that they mistake you for the enemy and shoot you. And that's pretty easy to do. And thankfully, there's been leaders around here who say, duck, you know, or whoa, Mark, let's hold this back a little bit. It'll come. But you know, most of the time, a vision becomes reality through a succession of small steps. And then the momentum starts to roll. Stephen Covey said that vision is based upon the principle that all things are created twice. There is the mental, the dream, and the physical. Creation follows the mental, just as building follows a blueprint. And again, I could go on forever, but I want to wrap this up. And I want to say, as we go into the fall, I'm really excited about what's taking place. I believe we have a lot of folks who are committed to being a church that truly connects people with Christ and grows people in spiritual maturity and serves God by using our gifts to serve others. I'm so excited to see new generations take up leadership and to dream new dreams. I've never been accused of being Sally Sunshine, have I? I'm not that kind of guy. I like to think I tell it to you straight. I'm a realist. But I have to tell you, I think we're in a good place. I really do. And I think we're in a good place to see some major steps forward in this coming year. And as we welcome new people to be a part of this dream that God has given to us. One last thing I want to share with you is next week we're starting a 5-week series called Faith, Science, and Reason. There's so many people out there who have serious questions and doubt when it comes to the relationship of faith and science. I believe they're natural partners. They're not enemies. And so we're going to take 5 weeks to explore that. Both Pastor and Ellen and I are team teaching that. And this is a great opportunity for you to invite a neighbor, a friend, a coworker who's not attending a church anywhere and come and sit with you. Maybe take them out for dinner afterwards, because we love what we're doing here together. Now I want to close with this prayer. So will you pray with me? Lord, continue to give us dreams. Continue to give us a vision as a congregation. Continue to unite us. And then move us forward. Move us from dreams to reality. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.